Thank you, Brother Nathan. Let me remind you that in 1 Peter chapter number 2, we have discovered what one of our primary purposes is as believers. And that is, and our purpose is to praise the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There was a time when you was not living in the realm of mercy, but you were under the wrath of God. But there came a time when God dealt with your heart and revealed to you your lostness and brought you to the point of trusting in Christ. And when God saved you, you left the realm of divine judgment and you entered into the realm of divine mercy. You who were not the people of God have now become the people of God. And you're a chosen generation, and you're a royal priesthood, and you're a holy nation, and you are a peculiar, which means a people that have been acquired or purchased, and you've been caught out of darkness into light. And for that reason, our purpose is to show forth the praises of Him who has done all of that. That is, who made us His people, who've extended His mercy, who's called us out of darkness into light, that we should show forth His praises. And we have discovered that that really is one of the chief characteristics of those who met the Lord in the Bible. That is, we can go all the way back to the early part of the Gospels when Jesus was born, and we see people who are meeting Him even as a baby and are worshiping and giving God the praise. And when you continue on and see the church being born and developed in the book of Acts, you'll find that one of the chief characteristics of the early believers is indeed the fact that they are worshiping and praising God. If you go down to the temple in the area where they're gathering together to study the word at the apostles' feet, you'll hear them worshiping God. And if you don't watch out, there'll be a former lame man running around. He may run right into you. He's running and leaping and praising God because of what God has done in his life. And so folks are worshiping. You can't get them to stop. They tried. And that is, they persecuted them. They intimidated them. They commanded for them to stop this preaching about the resurrection. And they arrested them. They beat them. And yet they would still leave the presence of those who beat them, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. As you read through the Bible, one of the main purposes and chief characteristics of God's people is their praise, and it is their worship. And yet when we look at our life and when we look at our hearts, oftentimes we realize that I don't praise God like I should. As a matter of fact, we've discovered that if we were going to define what praise is, we would have to call it the expression of our affection. And that is that when you and I have affection in our hearts for the Lord, and we begin to express that affection, that's really what praise is. And we've discovered that praise is not limited to a time on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. It's not limited to a certain style of music that you might enjoy listening to or you might enjoy singing whenever you come to church. It's not limited to good circumstances. And that is, a praise and worship, ladies and gentlemen, flows out of a heart that has affection for the Lord. And when that heart begins to be expressed, that's what praise is. And you can praise Him on Sunday or you can praise Him on Monday. You can praise Him when everything's going good and you can praise Him when everything is going bad. And listen, you can praise Him in every kind of circumstance and in every place you are. You can be thrown into the Philippian jail with Paul, as Silas was, and you can just start praising Him right down there in that nasty, dirty, awful place that they were stuck in. You can praise Him there as long as you have affection in your heart. But listen, one of the problems that we have is that many times we do not love Him like we used to love Him, and that our affection is not where it ought to be. And we begin to develop a problem with our praise, and that is that we don't love Him like we should. We don't praise Him like we should. And you and I examine our hearts and we see that on the inside of us and realize that I've got a problem with my praise. Listen, if you get more excited about a ball game than you do about the blood, then you know you've got a problem with your praise. Amen. And when you get more excited about your car than you do the cross, I'll guarantee you, you got a problem with your praise. And I could keep going on, but I'll spare you all of that. Just to let you know that it's possible that we can have a real problem with our praise. And when we do, it is a serious problem. A problem with our praise is not a minor problem. It's not a minor setback in our Christian walk, but it is a major problem for which you and I ought to examine ourselves and ask the question, then what is the problem with my praise? And we've been trying to explore that, as you all know. And we have discovered a number of things in the Bible that are revealed to us that could be a problem with our praise. It could be unconverted hearts. It could be just unconfessed sin. It might be an unsurrendered life. That is, you're holding back part of your life from the Lord. It might be unbended knees. There is a connection between our prayer life and our praise life. It could be, ladies and gentlemen, unburdened hearts. It may be that we haven't been sowing in tears, and that's why we're not reaping in joy. It might be ungodly attitudes, patterns of thoughts and belief that just are ungodly and not like the Lord. It could be an ungrateful mindset. That is, that you and I just aren't thankful for what it is that God's blessed us with and what we have. We spend more time complaining than we are being thankful to God. It could be uninformed doctrine. That is, you and I just not knowing what the Bible says. There's a connection between the Word and our praise. And listen, if you'll get in the Word and let the Word come alive on the inside of you, you'll praise Him because of what you know about Him revealed right here in our Bible. Uninformed doctrine. It could be, as we discovered this morning, it could be unfilled spirits. It may be that you and I are just not filled with the Holy Spirit. We discovered in Ephesians 5:18 that God's will is for us not to be drunk with wine, but the opposite of that is to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, instead of you and I drinking fermented beverages and getting a buzz off of them or becoming intoxicated, we need to be drinking from the Spirit as we're told to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. That is, there is a well of water living on the inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside of you according to John chapter number 7. He is that well of water that lives on the inside of every person who's been born again. And God wants you to drink from that well. That is, God wants you to be intoxicated with Him. That is, just like an intoxicating beverage will control your mind and will control your decisions and will control you, ladies and gentlemen, from the inside. Even so, the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you, He wants to dominate our lives. He wants to control us from the inside out. And listen to me now, one of the things that is key to worship and praise is indeed the filling, dominating control of the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Let me just remind you, according to the Gospels, Jesus told us that when the Holy Spirit has come, that He will glorify Him, that He'll glorify Christ, and that is His purpose. That is, His purpose is to glorify Jesus. And listen to me now, when He's living on the inside of you, and when He is dominating your inner man, that is, your inner person, when He dominates you, then there's going to be something on the inside of you, someone on the inside of you that loves to glorify the Lord Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit dominating your heart on the inside. And listen, the Spirit of God is not trying to glorify Himself, but He's trying to glorify the Son of God. And listen, He'll do that in and through the people of God in whom He dwells and dominates from the inside out. You say, Pastor, I wish the Spirit of God would come down on this place. No, what we ought to be praying is the Spirit of God would rise up from within us, because that's where He's at. He's living on the inside of the redeemed, and He wants to rise up on the inside of you and dominate your inner man so that you're full of love and affection for the Lord Jesus, a love and affection that does not flow from your flesh, but flows from the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you, dominating your inner man. So we've got to consider that when we think about praise and worship. We've got to consider the issue of whether or not we are filled with the Spirit of God. And first of all, we began looking at what I called the W's of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, we began to look at what it is, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. And we discover that it's not hanging from the lights, it's not jumping over the pews, but it is the Spirit of God who lives in you, dominating your inner man. That's what it is. It's the Spirit of God alive in you, dominating your inner man, controlling you from the inside out. And that's what the filling of the Spirit is. We also discovered not only the what, but we looked at the who. That is, who it is that should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we discovered that it's all of God's people. It's not just a few like we read about in the Old Testament, but all of God's people who are saved have the Holy Spirit living in them. And listen to me now, if He's not living in you, you're not one of His. But all of the redeemed have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. He wants to dominate your inner man, just like He wants to dominate my inner man, just like He wants to dominate the inner soul of our missionaries and church leaders across the world. He wants to dominate you. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we discovered not only the what and the who, but we also discovered the when. That is, when should a Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit? And we've discovered, that is in Ephesians 5:18, that we should continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is that you and I should, this is an experience that you and I should continuously be having in our Christian life. And I'm going to describe that in a few moments. But just to remind you, that's something that we should be experiencing continuously in our life. Salvation happens one time. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happens at conversion happens one time. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continuous experience that you and I should be having as we journey through the Christian life. So we've discovered when. And then we also discovered in the service this morning the why. And that is, why is it that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I gave to you in a rather quick way, I gave to you, I believe, about 12 and maybe 13 reasons why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, beginning with the reason, that is the reason for this series of messages, and that is so that you and I might be able to experience real praise from our hearts. That's why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and so that we can experience real gratitude in our circumstances, and so that we can experience real submission in our relationships, and so that we can experience real harmony in our homes, real effectiveness in our witnessing, real discernment and victory in spiritual warfare, and so we might experience real Christian character in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, so that we might experience, ladies and gentlemen, real victory over the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that we can experience full assurance of our salvation because He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that we might experience a powerful prayer life. So He'll guide us and lead us as we pray so that we'll know how to pray according to the will of God. So that we might experience real growth in the Word because He is the one who teaches us the Word of God according to 1 John 2:27. So that we might experience liberty in Christ because with the Spirit of the Lord there is liberty. So that we might experience real transformation in our life. And the reason why is because according to 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Spirit of God changes or transforms us from glory to glory. He changes us and transforms us from the inside out. I gave you very, very quickly 13 reasons why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we've seen the what, we've seen the who, we've seen the when, and we've seen the why, and we need to focus for our remaining time on the way. The way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we experience the filling of the Holy Spirit? I would divide this into two areas. First of all, I'd like for us to talk about the way to emptiness and then the way to fullness. You see, you can't be filled with the Spirit until, first of all, you experience an emptiness. I've been discovering in my life and through the years of knowing the Lord that God is constantly trying to empty me. And what He's trying to empty me of is everything that grieves and quenches the Spirit of God in my life. Everything that causes me to depend on myself instead of Him. Anything that distracts me from my desperate need of His presence and power in my life. That is, God is trying to do a work of emptiness and emptying in my life. The way to emptiness. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we could say a lot about this, and maybe I could preach another series of messages on the way to emptiness, but I'll try to condense it down into two or three things so we can get to focus on the way to fullness. And that is, the way to emptiness, I believe, would involve, first of all, realizing our reality. Realizing our reality. And the reality that I'm talking about is just coming face to face with the reality that I am not filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, just looking at that. Instead of living a distracted life, I would that God, all of us would live a life of self-examination and where you and I are looking at ourselves and asking ourselves the most important questions. The most important questions that you and I should be asking ourselves is not how much money we're making, even though that is something that is essential in this life. But that's not the most important question. And the most important question is not how much fun am I having. The most important question is not whether my ball team is winning or losing. The most important question of the Christian life is whether or not I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not the Spirit is dominating my inner man. And there are so many distractions to keep you and I from realizing the reality. If we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, there are so many distractions trying to keep us from realizing that reality. The devil doesn't want you to know that. You see, the devil knows what happens when the people of God get filled with the Spirit of God, he remembers what happened in the book of Acts, and he does not want that repeated. That is a move of God where thousands of people are coming to Christ because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is moving and operating in and through the people of God. That's not what he wants. And so he'll do everything that he can to keep you and I distracted from the reality that we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, so we don't think about it, so that we don't worry about it, so that we don't focus on our desperate need to be full and dominated by the Lord. And so the first step, I believe, is just to realize our reality. That is to realize that if my worship and my praise is not what it ought to be, it just could be that I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, if I'm ungrateful and have a real problem with being negative and griping and complaining, it could be a sign that I am not filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, if you think that you're better than others and you won't give in to them and you have to have your way and you're not submissive, it may be that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get you to realize something. That is, if you don't have a burning, passionate love for your wife, men, it could be that you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. If you don't have a burden for souls and not actively involved in soul winning, then you may not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're not actively engaged in resisting the devil, I'm talking about spiritual warfare, you may not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're not demonstrating the Christian character in your life, like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, you probably are not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not experiencing victory over the lust of the flesh, you're probably not walking in the Spirit. Listen to me now. If you're saved but struggling with doubt, you may not be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not having a meaningful prayer life where you're getting a hold of God and heaven is hearing and moving as a result of your prayer life, then you're probably not being led and filled by the Holy Spirit. If you're not growing in the Word, that is, if there's not a strong appetite for the Word of God in your life, a desire to learn and grow in what this Bible says, then you're probably not filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, if you're all bound up and you're not experiencing any freedom in Christ, then you're probably not filled with the Holy Spirit. If your life is not being transformed so that you're becoming more like Jesus, then you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I need to just realize the reality. If we're not filled with the Spirit of God, we need to face that. Realizing the reality. Second thing I'd like to say about the way to emptiness is not only realizing the reality, but secondly, rend your heart. Rend your heart. Now listen, that's not a phrase that we use very often, but it's a phrase that Joel used in the Old Testament. Turn over to Joel chapter number 2 and I'll let you see it and then I'll move along. In Joel chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 12. Joel 2:12. Now Joel's one of those books you haven't turned to in a little while. So if you have to go to the front of the Bible and see what page it is, I understand that and that's okay. Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart. You know, one of the things that characterize biblical times when somebody was in deep grieving or mourning is that they might tear their clothing. You might remember reading about some people in the Bible that would tear their clothing and sit in sackcloth and ashes. Well, here we find that Joel is saying, don't just tear your clothing, but rend or tear your heart. That's right. In other words, what he's calling upon them to do is to be broken in their heart, to rend their heart, not their garments, and turn to the Lord your God. For he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. That is, judgment was coming. And he said, listen, God might change his mind if you just repent. Just like he did with Jonah in the city of Nineveh. You might remember that story. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? That is, God may not only, listen, he may just withhold his judgment and leave a blessing behind him. If you'll rend your heart. And that's the little phrase that I'm using here to say to you that, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I have come to the realization that the reality is that we are not filled with the Spirit of God, then we should rend our hearts like one grieving Like one who would rip their garments in deep grief, you and I should realize that we desperately need God and we need Him to fill and dominate our life so that we would be broken before Him. That's the idea. It's the idea of praying and weeping and fasting and seeking God with all of our hearts. You say, Pastor, I sure would like to be filled with the Spirit. Well, listen, the way to be filled with the Spirit is the way of emptiness. It's you and I facing the reality, realizing the reality that I'm not filled with the Spirit and experiencing this rending of the heart. The way to be filled with the Spirit leads to brokenness before God and seeking Him with prayer and fasting and the seriousness of heart. God's people broken before Him, seeking Him. Let me ask you this question. How long has it been since you spent some unrushed time before the Lord to the point that you were broken before Him for your soul and the souls of others and the nation we live in? And I mean broken before God, seeking His presence and power in your life. You see, the way to be filled with the Spirit is the way to emptiness. And that involves realizing our reality, that we're not filled with the Spirit, and then rending our hearts before God, realizing how much we need Him, realizing how desperately we need His presence and power. Thinking about lost people that sit in our services from service to service, maybe every Sunday, leave lost. And you say, Pastor, I can't hardly bear the thought, then rend your heart before God. Some of you got lost loved ones that if they were to die today, they'd spend eternity separated from God in hell, as do I. And you say, Pastor, I can't bear the thought. Then rend your heart. Some of you here and your worship is all dried up and has been for a while. You should rend your heart before God. That is, we should realize our reality. We should rend our hearts. And then we should remove all the junk. Everything that's standing in our way, everything that grieves the Spirit of God, every sin in our life that grieves Him, all of the wrong priorities and all the things, all the junk that clutters our life. You all know what junk is. You got plenty of it at your house, don't you? It's always somebody else's stuff I've discovered, right? It's not my stuff, right? My stuff's not junk. It's good stuff, and I'm going to use it one of these days. It's always somebody else's stuff. You know, that's true here at church, isn't it? It is. Somebody looks over in that corner and says, look at all that junk in that corner. But then when they look in their corner, it's not junk, right? Not that stuff. Yeah. When you have a church like ours and everybody's got their stuff, pretty soon there's a church full of junk everywhere. Yeah. Absolutely. But we just have junk in our life, don't we? We not only have junk in our closets, we not only have junk in our sheds and our garages and places like that, but we have junk in our hearts, that is, in our lives. And the junk that's standing in our way, you know what junk does? It gets in your way, doesn't it? And when you're trying to get to something in your garage or in your shed or in your closet, you got all this junk in your way that you got to get out of the way so you can get what it is that you need. And I'm going to say to you that when it comes to getting to that point in your life where God can fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of junk you're going to have to go through to get to that point. Some sin that you and I need to confess, and not only confess, we need to get rid of it. It needs to go. And that is, there's some stuff, some distractions in your life. If you want God to dominate your life and fill you on the inside, there's some junk on the inside of your heart. There's some thoughts that go, there's the thoughts that you're going to have to deal with. There are values you're going to have to deal with. Priorities are going to have to get straightened out. That is, there's just some junk in our life. We're going to have to get rid of the junk. We're going to have to remove the junk. We've got to get honest about that stuff. Confess it for what it is and get rid of it. Some of you got some things in your life and you know what it is. It grieves the Spirit of God. You got to get rid of it. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to clean. I mean, I've got so much junk, I don't know how to clean it out. Just one thing at a time. Amen. One thing at a time. Listen, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit's living in you, you know where to start. You know what it is. Because He reminds you. You know what it is. And just start with that. Just start with that one thing. And just get right with God about it. Get rid of it and deal with it in your life. And then God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to the second area of junk that you've got to deal with and get rid of. In other words, what I'm saying is you got to get to that point of emptiness. And God wants to do that. That is, He wants you to realize your reality, rend your heart, and then start removing the junk. That's the way to emptiness. Now, you can't get to fullness without getting to emptiness. So let's think for a few moments about the way to fullness. I've talked to you about the way to emptiness, but what is the way to fullness? Well, let me just say to you that if you want God, the Holy Spirit, to dominate your life, well, listen, you can't get there without going through emptiness. But if you'll allow God to empty you, when you get to that point of emptiness, then God, the Holy Spirit, will begin to fill and dominate your life. Now, there are many things I could say about this, but I've condensed it down to just two or three. One of the things I'd like to say is this, and that is when the Spirit of God begins to fill somebody who's been emptied, somebody that He's been working in and emptying, reducing down, humbling before Him, when He begins to fill that person will pray. They will be praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. Over in Romans chapter number 8, you might remember the passage of Scripture without spending a lot of time there, but there's a passage of Scripture there that reminds us that the Holy Spirit wants to help us in our prayer life. That you and I really don't even know how to pray, or who to pray for, or what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us with that infirmity or that weakness. The Bible describes His help as being like groanings which cannot be uttered. And I think the best way for me to describe those groanings is simply the burdens that God puts on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us in our prayer life. He wants to lead you to become a real prayer warrior. And let me say to you that when the Spirit of God has brought somebody to a point of emptiness, you'll see them on their face and you'll see them serious about praying. They're getting a hold of God in prayer, and the Spirit of God is helping them to pray according to the will of God. I mean, they are praying under the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. You might see them on the altar, and I mean, they're serious about getting a hold of God in prayer. You might knock on their door and you might hear them on the other side of the door, not opening the door, but you can hear them and they're praying and seeking God with all of their hearts. And the reason why is because they've been reduced to a point of emptiness, and they're seeking God, and the Spirit of God is teaching them how to pray and how to walk with God in prayer and how to seek God in prayer. He's leading them in prayer. Listen to me now. That person, listen, is about ready to get filled up. Amen. I mean, the Spirit of God is about ready to dominate their life. I want to encourage you to get alone with God, and I want to encourage you to seek Him in prayer. I mean to walk with God. I don't mean just to say your prayers, but I mean to get alone with God and walk with God in prayer and seek Him and experience the reality of His presence in your private time alone with God in prayer. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of God if you will not seek God and walk with God in prayer. When God has brought you to a point of emptiness and is about ready to fill you up, listen, that's when you're on your face and seeking God in prayer. Don't you love the story in Acts chapter number 4? It's one of those stories where the early believers got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Acts 4:31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they was gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Now that's an intriguing verse. When God the Holy Spirit showed up at the place where they were praying, the place literally began to shake, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what they were doing when the Spirit of God filled them? They were praying. You know the reason why they were praying? The reason why they were seeking God is because God the Holy Spirit had brought them to a point of emptiness. And He was using circumstances around them, That is, they were being persecuted, they were being threatened, they were being intimidated, told not to preach about Jesus and about the resurrection. And I'll tell you that they had been reduced down to the point where they needed the Lord to help them desperately. And they got on their face and they began to pray. They were seeking God. Listen, they had been reduced down to a point of emptiness, ladies and gentlemen. And they began to seek Him and they began to walk with Him in prayer. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God showed up and shook that place and filled them up. And they began to, with boldness, share the Word of God, not being intimidated by those who are trying to stop them. Listen, if you can picture in your mind that early church in Acts 4 on their face praying, listen, these are some of the same ones who might have gotten saved on the day of Pentecost. Some of them who had been filled with the Spirit of God prior to this, but I'll tell you that they were reduced down to emptiness again and begin to seek God. And as they're on their face, pouring out their hearts to God, seeking God in prayer, God showed up and filled them up. You say, I don't understand what the way to fullness is. I'm trying to explain to you. It is praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. When God brings you to a point of emptiness and you begin to seek Him with all of your heart. When your heart gets so burdened over lost people that all you can do is begin to seek God and fast and pray and beg for God to save lost people. Listen to me, that's the kind of praying that I'm talking about. When you begin to see the dryness of your soul and you begin to seek God and His presence and power in your life, that's the kind of praying that I'm talking about. The Spirit of God leading you to pray. Not just saying prayers, but the Spirit of God leading you in your prayer life. And so when we're talking about the way to fullness, we're talking about praying with the help of the Spirit. We're also talking about taking up the sword of the Spirit. Remember the sword of the Spirit, don't you? Ephesians 6:17, whenever Paul was writing about the armor of God, he said to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's right. You see, not only if you're not going to be filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit, the way to fullness is not only seeking God in prayer, but walking with God in the Word. The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. In another place, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4 that it's a two-edged sword. As a matter of fact, this sword, ladies and gentlemen, this two-edged sword, the Bible says that it can cut areas that no other sword can cut. Yeah. The Bible says that it can cut right down to the very joints and marrow. That is, it cuts right down even to the point of discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God reaches us on the inside in a place that nothing else can. That is, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He begins to deal with the inner man. That is, our inner heart. He begins to do a work on the inside of us through the Word that cuts out all of that stuff that needs to be removed from our life. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and begins to teach us those truths that you and I can be filled with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the two parallel books in the Bible are the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. And that is that those two books contain passages of Scripture that are very parallel and similar to one another. And one of the things that you'll find out in Ephesians 5 is that Paul emphasizes being filled with the Spirit of God. That passage we referred to earlier. When you read the book of Colossians, in what may be a parallel passage, instead of writing about being filled with the Spirit of God, he tells them to be filled with the Word of God. In other words, you say, Pastor, how do you get filled with the Spirit of God? It is by getting filled with the Word of God. That is, when God begins to fill you, ladies and gentlemen, it is not just an emotional experience, but it is a Word experience. God begins to fill you with truth. He begins to fill you with the Word. The anointing that lives on the inside of you begins to teach you and fill you with the Word of God. And so the way to fullness is not only for you and I to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, but it is to take up the sword of the Spirit. And then thirdly, it is to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. God is at work in you. Listen, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you, He is at work in you. And the key to being filled with the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is to yield to His work. That work that He's doing on the inside of you. Don't quench His work, but yield to his work. The idea of quenching the Spirit, the idea of quenching is the idea of putting out a fire. And we know that in the Bible that sometimes the Holy Spirit, the image of fire is used as an image of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you that he wants to burn on the inside of your life. He wants to fill you and dominate your life like a fire dominates. He wants to dominate you from the inside out. And listen to me now, you and I shouldn't do anything to put out that fire. That is to quench what the Spirit of God does, but we should yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me now, there's a difference between a destructive fire and a constructive fire. And that is the Holy Spirit does both. And that is the fire of the Holy Spirit will destroy the stuff in your life that is ungodly and not like the Lord. And he will develop or construct in your life godly character, and he'll fill and dominate your life. And don't do anything to quench the burning work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that is just yield to him. You say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are some who would tell you that in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then what you need to do is you need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Seek after the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I've been discovering. And that is, the Holy Spirit wants to fill me worse than I want to be filled. And so instead of just, listen, instead of seeking him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I've discovered that I just need to yield to him and let him do his work. That's right. Because maybe there's some sin in my life that he needs to deal with. He might be trying to speak to me about that, and I need to listen. There may be some areas of obedience that I haven't been obedient in. God's been trying to tell me to do something, I haven't been doing it. And I'm not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit until I get right about that. There may be some relationships that I've ripped apart and tore up. And he's not going to fill me until I get that straightened out. So instead of just seeking an emotional experience, I just need to yield myself to him and to what he's doing in me to bring me to that point where he can fill me up from the inside out. He may be trying to teach you how to say no to sin, but yield to him, to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit may speak to your heart, test your obedience, yield to him, and obey him. What I'm trying to teach is the way to fullness, the way to emptiness. Got to realize your reality. I'm not filled with the Spirit. Rend your heart with brokenness, seeking God. He'd fill your life and work in you. The way to fullness. That is, if the Spirit of God is going to operate in your life and fill you up, you're going to have to learn how to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and start yielding to the work of the Spirit, what he's trying to do in you. That's right. Removing the junk, transforming your life, making you a champion for God. Yield to him. I believe that one of the keys to praise is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why we have a problem with our praise is because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to realize that reality. Rend our hearts. Remove the junk. And seek his fullness in our life. Let's pray. Father, would you do your work in us? We're a needy people, Father. We have so many things, Father. You blessed us in so many ways as a church. But the most essential element is your presence, the power of your Spirit. Pray that you'd work in us. Father, teach us, Lord, what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we're going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what you do tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together.